Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name this morning. I've been impressed, maybe in a new way, this morning as we were singing some of those songs. The way those songs that we were singing, they ring in your mind. They stick in your mind, and you'll probably think of them tomorrow as you go about your work. You'll probably find yourself singing some of those songs. And this morning, for a message, that is why I'm preaching the message I am this morning. There was a song that I heard recently, and it kept ringing in my mind. It kept coming back to me over and over again. I don't know if we often title messages or preach a message on a song, but that is what I've chosen to do this morning. We will definitely be looking at Scripture, and I believe this song is it's actually a popular gospel song today, but I do believe it is a scriptural song, and I believe there's a lot of truth that we can find in it. Before we go into what that song is, we open it up for prayer requests. There was a lot of prayer requests for those who are facing sickness this morning. Do you ever feel like this world's spinning out of control? I had to think of what Chris was praying when Chris was praying there. That ties right into what this message is going to be about. But the world is out of control. There's a virus out there. There's a lot of people living in fear of that virus. I think probably a lesser extent it has affected some directly with sickness and death. But probably overall the broader impact has been the fear and the economic impact that it has had upon the world around us. There's a lot of political unrest today. Racial tensions are running high. Protests in the streets of major cities, some of them have turned violent and resulted in rioting and looting. We could look around and say that everything's kind of falling apart, and it is. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is fast becoming more and more godless, more and more following after their own desires. That's on a world level. Then we mentioned those individual needs in our congregation, those of us that are affected by people that are suffering. Do you wonder, is life worth living? Is life worth going on? This world is not a friendly place. And really, think about it, if without God in our lives, we could quickly become discouraged and feel like there's no point in living. I'm going to read the song, this song that brought me to this message. I guess if Myron chooses to try to sing it by memory, we'll let him do that. Because He Lives is the title of my message this morning. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because He lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain, and then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know He reigns. The chorus goes, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Do you have that confidence this morning that life's worth living? Because we have a living Savior. Because we have a Savior that's living today. A little bit of background on this song. It was written by the author of this song is Gloria Gaither. It was written about 50 years ago, the late 60s. Cultural revolutions were running rampant at that time as well. Drug use was on the increase. There was a very much of an anti-God agenda being promoted in the schools. There was a racial cultural revolution surrounding the very similar to what we see today. The author was soon after that wrote this song, or about the time she wrote this song, gave birth to a son. She was feeling like it was not really a stable world to be bringing a young child into. That's reflected in the verse 2 that we read there. Her husband was sick. They were facing some opposition from those that they considered to be close friends, criticism and opposition from some they considered to be very close friends. And because of some of the discouragement or the fear of the future and what was ahead, she penned these words that became a very popular song, one that you probably well recognize. Today, we also have many unknowns around us, but we have the assurance that we can face tomorrow because Jesus is living. He's a living, our living Savior. First thing I want to look at, you can turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 4. The first two lines of this song are God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. How often do you thank God for sending his son here on this earth? I was recently reminded when hearing a testimony of a former Muslim that became a Christian, talking about how the Muslim faith, they do not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They believe that he lived and was a prophet, and they believe that he died and did not rise again. They see him as just a prophet. But we have a lot more today. When we see Jesus as the Son of God and how he came and lived his life here. In Luke chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 16 to 22. This is Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, and he came into the synagogue, and he was telling them or showing them what his purpose was in coming to this earth. And I think there was in a lot of ways, there was a twofold purpose for Jesus coming to this earth. He came, yes, maybe the ultimate reason was to die and shed his blood. But he also came to live here and give us an example, and also to do a lot of healing and deliverance. We'll read that here in these verses. I'm going to start reading at Luke 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this the son of Joseph? Is not this Joseph's son?" Jesus, He took this time to find this spot in the prophet that prophesied about his coming, and in a very interesting way portrayed to the people there that this was being fulfilled that very day. Jesus, the Son of God, who came here on this earth to give us an example to live by. I want to look at these phrases in verse 18 and 19. Why Jesus came. That song says he came to love, heal, and forgive. And I think we see those in these verses. The first one, Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. Jesus did not come only to preach to the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders. He preached to them, but he also brought the gospel to the everyday man. If you look at his disciples, they were fishermen, they were common folk. Matthew was a tax collector. He had common folks that were even looked down on in that society that Jesus brought along with him. He spent much time preaching to multitudes that flocked after him, and I would imagine these multitudes were largely made up of common folk, the ones that were the working class, those that were searching for something in their life. It's many times it says that he looked on them and had compassion. He loved them and had compassion for them. He taught them. He showed them how to live. He fed them when they were in the wilderness. Yes, even sometimes he scolded those who still had pride and resentment in their heart, but he had great love for them. See, Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. And we are blessed with that today. We have the record of that in God's Word that we can turn to and hear that preaching again and again. We can hear him read the words that are recorded of what he taught the people. The second phrase here says, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus spent a lot of time healing those that were sick. He healed the many that were lame, those that came to him. If you turn over in Luke 4 to verses 38 to 41, I'm going to read those now. It just shows a little bit of what he did in healing those that came to him. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them and suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. He was sent to heal the brokenhearted, and we see him here healing in a physical way in Luke 4. But Jesus is still healing today. Yes, there's times he chooses to heal physically. I believe there is miracles of healing that Jesus performs today. But I think maybe what this passage, what Isaiah was writing about here, maybe goes a little deeper than that. Jesus is also the healer. And that he heals those who are brokenhearted emotionally, those who are suffering from hurts, those who are suffering from heartache. He is still performing miracles in the life of each person that gives his life over to him and submits to his will. And we need to be brokenhearted for Jesus to be able to heal us. I did not find the scripture, but it talks there in that one scripture about falling on the rock and being broken. And if you do not, that rock will fall on you and grind you to powder. Let's become brokenhearted before God, before Christ, so he can heal us. He can heal our hurts, our unforgiveness. He can take that away and give us joy and peace in our lives. Jesus was sent to heal the brokenhearted. The next one, the third phrase, to preach deliverance to the captive. Jesus can free anyone from the captivity of sin and Satan. The grips of Satan and the claws of sin. Are you a captive this morning? Are you gripped against your will by unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, or jealousy? Do you have something that is holding you captive? Jesus is able to set you free. He's a great emancipator. If you ask him, he will set you free. We were bound by sin and had no way to free ourselves. We need a deliverer. We need someone to set the captive free, and Jesus is the answer to that. The fourth phrase, recovering of the sight to the blind. Again, this happened many times in the Gospels where we see Jesus healing the blind. He would touch them. He would touch their eyes, anoint them with clay, and they would be healed. They would be able to see again. But Jesus is still giving sight to the blind today. A person that is bound in sin and is in darkness. It's like being blind. They can't see the light. They can't see the way to move forward, the path forward. When we were in sin, we were groping without any light to shine on our pathway. And without Jesus, we would be hopelessly blind. But he came to recover sight to the blind. He shown his light on our lives by the example he gave when he lived here on earth. The Bible is full of direction for the Christian. Through Jesus' example, through the stories in the Old Testament, the epistles, what the disciples wrote after Jesus was gone, was going back to heaven, they're full of truth. And if we read this word, we can receive light for our pathway. It will bring sight to our eyes. Let's walk in the light as he is in the light. The fifth phrase, set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus came to free the hurting from their hurts. I believe both literally when he was here on earth, he did this. When he healed those that were lame, those that were crippled. But again, today he's still doing that. Freeing those from the hurts of those who were treated unjustly. We have all been hurt and bruised by someone in this life, emotionally. Someone we related to that mistreated us, took advantage of us. You can probably think of things that happened in your lifetime that were not fair. And you can nurse that hurt. You can allow that to grow deeper and cause bitterness. Often the closer the person is to us, the more hurt we receive, and our natural inclinations would be to retaliate back, to return that hurt back to that person. Instead, Jesus came to release that, to take the feelings of revenge away, to allow us to have forgiveness, to allow us to forgive. He came to set at liberty them that are bruised. Are you hurt this morning? Do you feel bruised this morning? Jesus can set that free if we come to him. Yes, may not take away the memory. There's still going to be things we will remember, but can you remember that without having an ill will or feeling toward that person? I believe that is a sign that we have been able to forgive. And it's an ongoing process to forgive, to constantly, as those things come up, those bruises, Jesus is able to set us at liberty. the last phrase here, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. While Jesus was here on earth, he gave us much teaching, much preaching to those around us. It's recorded for us. He gave a lot of teaching about the end of times. The year of the Lord is a phrase that is used in Scripture to talk about the end of time and how the judgment and wrath that God will bring pour out on the evil world. Jesus gave us teaching for the end times. Let's be reading those. I believe we're very close to them today. Living in the end times, Jesus came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The third line of the first verse of that song that we're looking at says, "He lived and died to buy my pardon." Let's just turn over to John 3. Just a few verses I want to read here. Another reason that Jesus came to earth was to die to buy our pardon. So his blood could be there as an atonement for our sins. John 3, I'm going to read verses 14 to 17. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Jesus needed to die to provide a sacrifice for our sin. And he did that. He did that. We have it recorded in the Gospels how Jesus gave his life, willingly gave his life. He was hanging there on the cross. He said, "It is finished." And I believe at that point the price had been paid for all our sin, all the sin of mankind. Those who are willing to accept it and then live for Christ. The price has been paid for our sin. The question for me and you is, what have we personally done with Jesus' blood? Have you applied it to your heart this morning? Have you allowed it to change the way you live your life? Does the assurance that you have of your salvation make a difference in your life? Or is it something you don't think about that much, what Jesus did for you? He lived and died to buy my pardon. Let's live today in light of that and live our lives in consecration to him. He gave his life so that we can go free. The fourth line of that verse, first verse, is, "An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives." The power of the resurrection is so important in the life of the Christian. It sets Christianity apart from all other religions. When the founder and the head of a religion is no longer dead, is living, it gives us hope. It gives us something to look forward to. We serve a risen Savior. We have an empty tomb. And that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that's available to you and I to become overcomers, to be overcomers in this world, in this life. Fact of the resurrection should be a motivator to us. We have more than this life to live for because we have the promise of that we will also take part in that resurrection. Jesus was victorious over death and conquered the grave. In the same way, our life also will not end with the grave. Life is only the introduction to eternity ahead of us. So when we face uncertainty, we face uncertain times, and we wonder if we can go on, to remember that this life is a short section of our existence. We have eternity ahead. And if we're faithful in this life, we have the promise of heaven. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. The second verse, how sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives, but greater still the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. As you remember, when I was talking about the author of this song, she was thinking about her unborn son when she penned the words of this song. And I think it's not a lot different today. What will the next generation need to face? You look back over the last several decades, you see the changes that have come. What will it be like in 20 years from now, 30 years from now, if the Lord tarries? The marriage is no longer defined as God intended. Divorce rates are high. People are angry because of many things. You see people's anger coming out in the protests and riots. Are you able to agree with the author that even though we don't know the future, the times it looks dark, it looks uncertain, we can face uncertain times and we can trust that the children that you're holding in your arms this morning can face the future too? That he'll be there for our children and grandchildren if they seek after him. Let's never lose sight of the reality that Jesus lives, and he'll be there to give strength and power to those that are faithful, even though we don't know what is ahead. We don't know if there's a time coming when our religious freedom will be taken from us. We don't know if we'll face direct persecution from groups around us. But we can face uncertain days because he lives. And our children can, our grandchildren, if the Lord tarries. Think of those who are facing health journeys today. Charlita's health, Leonard, Norma's grandson, Sheila, Emma Grable, Mary Jane, others that were mentioned this morning. We can face the future because we have a living Savior. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. The last verse, and then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he reigns. We, as Christians, have something beyond this life. It's sad to think of the many people, probably a majority of people around us, that do not believe in an afterlife. They believe that when they die, that's the end. They will drift off into death and lose consciousness, and that is the end of them. But we as Christians have something to look forward to. Yes, we have a natural fear of death. We have a natural fear of the unknown surrounding death. Maybe we fear the pain or the suffering that could be involved in our death. But we can rest in the fact that if we have claimed Jesus as our Savior and we have lived a life of submission to his Lordship, the next life will be different. Will be different than what we face here. We'll be ushered into the presence of God and spend eternity with him. So one day, either we will be caught up in the clouds when Jesus comes back, or one by one, each one of us will pass off the scenes of time and cross the river of death. We'll fight life's final war with pain. To think that it's a final, death is a final interaction with pain, that after that will be all taken away. It should be an encouragement to us. You can turn to Revelation 21. I want to read some verses there about the glories of heaven, just as an encouragement to us. Also, a verse from 1 Corinthians 15, death is swallowed up in victory. Yes, even though death, from our perspective, is a loss and it's a time of grief and separation to the Christian, it's a gateway to victory. It's total victory when we have passed over into glory. I'm going to read from Revelation 21. I'm going to read from verse 22 over into chapter 22, verse 7. Notice as we read the Lamb, that's Jesus, that's our Savior, that's the one that because He's living, we can face the future. Notice Him as He's portrayed here in this passage. Chapter 22, verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Notice the Lamb. Says he is the temple, he provides the light, he'll be reigning supreme. In verse 24, it says the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it. I believe he will be reigning King of kings and Lord of lords. He will be over all. Verse 27, a sobering thought. A beautiful thought, but also a sobering thought. This city will be free from sin and anything that defiles it. That's a precious thought, but you know, that's also a sobering thought, because the only way we can enter there is if we have the blood of Jesus cleansing us from that sin. It will be free from temptation. It will only be occupied by those that have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is my name there? Is your name there this morning? Are you a citizen of the heavenly city? Chapter 22, the verses I read in verse 22 are very familiar verses. They can be comforting to us when we face uncertain times, when we face an uncertain future. Whatever you face today, we have eternity to look forward to. The bliss of heaven with all the saints. Let's serve Him today, so when we get there, we will be able to just continue on serving Him. Verse 3, it says, His servants shall serve Him. I believe if we're doing that today, it will be a natural thing to continue on serving Him in heaven. The chorus of this song goes, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Because we have a risen Savior, we have a living Savior, we can face whatever life brings our way. I hope this message can be an encouragement to you, maybe the song will ring through your mind this week. I know it did for me in the last several weeks, and I felt like there was something there that was that could be shared, that could be an encouragement to others. And as we face the future, as we face the uncertainties around us, let's remember we have the promise of a living Savior, and because He's living, we can face tomorrow and the future.